Okay, I got something for you guys to chew on.
Okay. Okay. I'm ready. I'm hungry. Feed
Since
me, Daddy.
Hot dogs are basically just pureed meat stuffed inside an animal intestine, and a hot dog doesn't stop being a hot dog even after we eat it. We just become the new hot dog casings that makes us, in a way, hot dogs as well.
It's like an intro to like a badass song.
Wait, what are you reading? I saw you reading. What are you reading that off of?
That's his memoirs.
It just distressed me.
5 seconds.
Okay. Did you come up with that?
Here we go. We're going. All right. Welcome back.
We should start with that.
Welcome back. No, we shouldn't.
I can do it again.
No. Welcome back, everyone, to Green Box Gaming, plays Delta Green, Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I'll be your handler for this operation. And I am joined by three of my the most normal, regular people who talk about the most regular shit that you've ever met. Starting with, of course, Dace playing Busiek.
Very, very based and boring. Just vanilla, run-of-the-mill.
Yeah. And then I'm, of course, joined by old Brad playing Hank.
Just sports and stock for me. That's all I think about.
What? Is that the most regular things that people do?
For a 30-year-old man,
probably.
Is that
probably. What you're getting at?
In America, okay. I guess.
And then, of course, we are joined by Jean... playing John, who talks about, I think, the most normal things. And if there's anyone who, you know, it's funny, I feel like if you were to pull our audience and be like, who do you think talks about the most bizarre shit, they would not say John playing Benedict.
Thank you. I'm just happy to be here and to be included.
Thank you. And to be included. Mm-hmm. And to be, in your own way, a hot dog.
Be the hot dog.
Be the hot dog. Guys, I'm not sure if you... No, you guys were aware. I turned 34.
Oh, hey. Happy birthday.
Since our last meeting.
Disgusting.
You old
it
bag
is gross.
Of meat.
My body is gross. Yep. Certainly my life.
Unanimously agree.
Hey, you want to feel even older?
You know...
If you want to feel old as shit...
Do it.
Get online on your computers and look up the cast of Terminator 2.
Oh God!
And how old they are?
No,
I made the mistake of doing that just before we got on, and I feel like a skeleton.
Like a skeleton. No, Inwill's a regular attendee of our live recordings. Says I'm 58. Should I leave?
No.
No, it's fine. I can't imagine what it's like to hear, like, you know, like...
yeah, us bitching, you know, about...
It's like a 15-year-old.
Right.
We're basically 15-year-olds to him.
Right.
We sound like entitled shits.
Right.
Now I feel old and I hate myself. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ed Wilson. You bring that out in us. Oh, God. Well, like... You know, like, I, like, a lot of people in my program are, like, you know, like, in their mid-20s, you know, and they're kind of, you know, you're in your mid-20s when you first, you're like, you know, the other day, I got out of my car, and my back hurt, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's gonna happen. But that's not what I want to talk about. I don't want to, we often too much talk about the ravages of time, but one of the things that happened is my wife kind of had it was not a surprise party. But it was like she had planned it without me knowing. But then like there, like 6 hours before, she's like, okay, so I kind of want it to be a surprise, but I like literally need your help bringing in all the food so that we can set up. She's like, so, you know, I've invited like a bunch of people from, you know, your program to come, you know, and us just kind of have a shindig and have a game night. I was like, okay, great. So it wasn't a traditional surprise party where like I walk in and he's like, surprise. But, you know, it's just a good get together. How do you guys feel about surprise parties? Like, how would you feel if someone threw you like a legit, you know, you walk in the door and there's people behind the couch and stuff like that? Like,
I don't even like celebrating my birthday. Mm-hmm. So but
I was gonna say same, hard same. I would close the door and
but
walk.
But I know it makes it even more awkward
if you don't engage.
My girlfriend or like other people, if I don't engage, so I just like stay like excited or happy. I don't know.
I imagine Brad goes in.
You lie, yeah. Is what you're saying. You just lie.
Well, he goes on like, you know, that Brad standby mode where he's still engaging, you know, but not emotionally, not mentally, but his physical body is like going through the autonomous process.
The lights are on, but nobody's home.
That's what we get. What about you? What about you, Dace? What's your feel? Like you said, you were just like, would it be like an episode of Seinfeld? Like you'd open the door, hand still on the doorknob, surprise, and then just the door just closes.
Yeah. I had a birthday party once.
Oh, well,
that was enough.
You get the idea. There's cake, there's candles. Alright, seen this.
I think I've seen all I need to see.
No, the good thing about, so mine and Brad's birthday are really close together. So we actually, a lot of the times, we'll celebrate, we'll have like a joint birthday party.
Well, that's useful.
And that way, neither one of us is like the sole focus of it. It's just like a general get-together celebration. Nice.
And yeah, if you ever get tired, you can just be like, go talk to Brad. It's also his birthday, and vice versa.
Right.
Yeah, you should really go celebrate Brad.
I like this.
You know, and it says a lot about, I don't know, and John, maybe you're the outlier, but like, it sounds like at least me, Dace, and Brad are like, I don't know, like I've never really celebrated, I've never like gotten super into celebrating my birthday. Like some people get really excited about it. I don't know, it's just...
I used to hate my birthday so much, and with such a reputation for disliking it, that my colleagues at work at one stage, this was very memorable, they put up balloons, but he wrote little custom nihilistic messages on every single balloon. Ooh. Like, every second you're dying every second you're watching this balloon, and happy fucking whatever, and shit like that. And for my birthday, they were like, you can come in and pop these balloons, you grouchy shit.
Nice.
And I loved it. I loved it. It was great. But there's a whole lot of irony of loving that.
Yeah.
But I've become less grouchy.
We're all on the same page.
I've become less grouchy. Like, I realize people like to look back at other people in the world, in their spheres. So birthdays aren't really so much about me as much about other people. But
I traditionally have struggled with celebrating just period. In a lot of ways. But it's one of those things that like, in the last several years, like I've kind of let myself get into. But I would like to go back real quick to this idea of Dace being like, I went to a birthday party once. I had a birthday party. And I think I've got the idea. I'm just imagining 5-year-old Dace sitting at a table with the hat on and the cake in front of him and everybody singing happy birthday. And him just kind of sitting there and just kind of like nodding slowly to himself. Like, okay. And I think I've got it.
Literally like, home videos of me crawling under the table when everybody's singing happy birthday to me when I'm like 5 or 6 years old.
That is that's so Brad.
He's consistent. Yeah. I'll give it to him.
He just doesn't crawl anymore. That's the difference.
Well.
You haven't seen me on my birthday, John.
It's my birthday. I can traverse this parking lot however I please. Like Mary is like standing there walking full height, just like on her like on her phone, just like walking slowly with it. But sure, not in the furry way.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's get away from this. This is starting to sound kinky.
Wow.
Let's get away from that.
It's your buddy,
leash. Tell him about the leash.
Tell him about the leash. Okay, speaking
this
of...
This slithery little snake boy.
Speaking of unsuspecting words, worlds colliding, let's talk about Impossible Landscape, shall we? Let's get right into it.
Snake boy killed me, sorry.
Snake boy.
All right, on to...
All right. On to Impossible Landscape, this. Delta Green. Gosh. Guys... Last time. Do you guys remember what happened last time?
Yes. I was here.
Okay, thanks. Good conversation, guys. excellent radio.
No. I need that recap.
Okay. Last time, you guys having gone through everything, shut the fuck up, John, I'm talking. Having gone through everything to get to Carcosa, the broad, you know, like you sought out the Broad Albin after being after the McAllister Building in 1995, after the Dorchester, and then going to Las Vegas, and then ending back up in Boston, and then to Chicago, going through the Broad Albin, through the labyrinth, into Carcosa, down through the lake, into the silence, into the secret city, through the secret city, into the war zone. Is where you guys started last time, in the middle of a war zone between combatants, some familiar, some unfamiliar, Germans and Russians from World War II. You've seen at least one American that you know of who, I will remind you, you did feed into a vent, and that worked out super well for him. But you guys went through the war zone. You encountered, specifically last time we met, you guys encountered some groups other than the actual combatants involved. You encountered one group of some type of prisoners who seemed to be like emaciated and in delirium and running through the streets. And you guys, led primarily by Busiak, we need to retreat. We can't just mow down these people. You sought shelter from them. And then later, as you guys are continuing to move through, always toward this ever-present skybox kind of version of the palace, kind of, we're moving toward it, we're trying to get through the war zone, you guys then came across a group of civilian survivors, just trying to make it happen day to day, you know, dealing with wounds and trying to find food, and you know, and even though you could not speak their language, you guys made this connection with them, this very human element in this hellscape, in this war zone of just regular people trying to live. And I think there was a question tossed back and forth, you know, like, does, like, are these people who were pulled from somewhere else into Carcosa, or has Carcosa been pulling places towards it for so long that these people just grew up here and the madness is normal to them, a part of their lives? You guys were able to communicate and negotiate with them, and I believe that Busiak was able to heal, use his medical knowledge as a firefighter to help stabilize some of them. Some of their wounded you were not able to attend to. And that in a sign of, you know, and you guys are able to communicate to them, like, hey, we're heading there. We are going to the palace. You guys were able to communicate to them that, and in exchange, they led you to this no man's land. This huge, what looks like it might have been a canal at some point in time, now filled almost to the top with bodies. With the bodies of the Black Wind, the King's Army, Soviets, Germans, and with constant warfare. And you guys had, and actually I was talking to Gabby yesterday about it. She was like, so what did you guys do last time? I was like, you know, now I think about that last episode might have been my favorite sequence of this entire game. Of you guys
crossing.
You talk with
your wife about what we do?
I will say she asked.
That's fucking crazy, yo.
But you guys crossing the no man's land, and this interaction you guys have with your own sanity and the world warping around, you know, to make room for you in that way. As you guys went towards this
fumble
big,
as well.
Right, double fumble situation, which turns out.
Oh yeah,
you won.
Was good in that.
It was
case.
Good in this context. Yes, you guys made it through basically unscathed, which is not a given. You guys make it through to this big factory and this a factory that you had seen the signage for previously back in the encounter group, and you guys stumble out through the other side into a very different place, which is where we left off last time. You guys have now entered the Silent City, that as opposed to both the war zone and the secret city previous, where the signs and ravages of war are ever present, all of the debris, any place where an errant artillery shell might have hit a residential building, all of the debris is neatly piled up as if, you know, a crew is going to come pick it up later. The city, the streets are clean and almost completely empty. And I would say that everything around is... The cities have a kind, or the buildings have a kind of a symmetry, a theme to them. They're all kind of white washed and neat, you know, like there's like a city ordinance that says that your building has to be a certain way. And as you guys kind of stumble out onto the street, you can still hear the sounds of warfare behind you, but it sounds, seems far away all of a sudden. And as you, and where we're going to pick up here now is you guys are standing here still breathing hard as you kind of come out onto this neatly kept sidewalk. And there's a moment where, you know, you're looking at each other, you know, asking, are we safe? Blah, blah, blah. Did we make it? But then you notice out of the corner of all of your guys' eyes up high, you realize now that the bulb, that giant top of the palace, is inexplicably looming closer than it has ever been. You are on the right track. So that is where we're gonna pick up.
We went into the factory, and the factory just kind of like, once we went through the doors, it just teleported us to like this other inner,
it didn't teleport you ran through the factory floor. Gotcha. You know,
what are they making in the factory?
Oh, excellent question. It appears to be tractors and agricultural equipment.
Right, you mentioned that.
In various
states. I knew John Deere John was Deere's. Behind this.
Yes, I knew. I knew big American ag was a big part of this. But maybe even as you go through, maybe some of these tractors, you know, maybe you actually see that. To the side of the main line of the tractors, maybe you actually see some engines that looks like they might be being lifted out of tractor chassis and put into some type of armored personnel carrier. Like, you know, they're actually salvaging pieces of the equipment.
Like World War II retrofit factory situation.
It's the heart of John Deere's monopoly on the maintenance of their tractors. Right.
Are we going to do that?
Wait,
are we going to make that a part of this?
We're getting distracted.
What? Whose bottle? What were we looking for forever? Was it JD something?
That was Jay Lins.
JD Lins. John Deere Lins. It comes around.
It's JC. It's JC. Oh. As in JACY. You still have the bottle, by the way.
No, I'm pretty sure I got it right.
Right.
Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ.
Some atomic scissors in chat says, "No, it's Lamborghini. They made tractors before angry wedges with wheels."
I might actually be right. That's
actually
fact.
What they did. Yes.
Yeah. All right.
So yeah. So well. So you. But I want to make it very clear: you're not in the tractor factory anymore, guys. You're on the street.
Since we're on the street.
In some ways, we'll never leave the tractor factory.
I see that.
We're lucky. Well, Hank is going to, like, kind of, if I haven't done this already, I can't remember, take off any of this, like, anything that would associate me with any one faction. Like, I don't have, like, the red coat or whatever I had, or the black, what was that faction?
The Black Wind.
The Black Wind. I forgot which... get up I had, but I'm gonna take anything like that off.
Okay, you're going to discard whatever, because I think two of you still had uniforms.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we should keep them for later, Hank? Or do you just want to toss these? Mm-hmm. You think they've served their purpose?
We can, but not sure if I just don't know what's going on here. It seems to be quiet. Seems to be away from war. I'm not sure. Yeah. Who knows if it's because they've eliminated one of these factions in this vicinity. Might cause more problem than help us.
Okay.
You guys can play dress up at the ball. We got a place to be.
Says True. The firefighter with a mannequin on his crotch.
Right. Well, you know, and as you guys are... observing... Yeah, well, you know, it's the elephant in the room.
It's hard to argue with.
Speaking of that...
Let's address the elephant in the
maybe
room.
Maybe you should think about your get up. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if the...
I didn't want to say anything.
The Mad Max look is...
Oh, does this make me look fat?
It makes you look insane, which I don't know if it's good or bad for this place, but...
I find that a certain aura of insanity lends itself to a certain reticence for would-be combatants.
Not wrong. Huh? Not wrong.
Would-be combatants.
Yeah. All right.
So, as you guys are standing here, you know...
What's around us?
Well, again, like, you guys are standing on a street, and it's like there's... I don't know, what do you call them town, you know, like townhouses, you know, like side, like, you know, buildings that are individual apartments or individual homes that are all sharing sides. You know, you guys are on one of these big, long, you know, very, you know, with like shop fronts on the bottom floor, mm-hmm. you know, like very like old school New York kind of in a feel, but it has a very like kind of like more of a European feel to it. Maybe there is like a singular like fruit cart or something that looks like it might have been like a fruit or a food cart like out, but there's like nothing on it. It's pristinely like neat, everything put away.
Do we see any people?
And you see, I would say that in the far distance, you know, like, and there is this kind of fog at the very distance, the very far ends, like in the streets tend to go out. A row house. Thank you, Scissors. You know, like at the very, very far end of the streets, it actually gets a little foggy, a little hard to see. That's how long they go. But you can see maybe just the kind of image of people as they kind of cross. It looks like they're heading in the direction of the palace. Now, anyone that you do see, and this happens every now and then, but it always seems like they're pretty far away, or maybe even every now and then as you're looking around, there might be, you might catch just a glimpse of movement in one of the row houses, in one of the windows. And if you look up, you look up just in time to see a curtain being very swiftly closed. It seems that the people, whoever is here, if anyone, and you know that's not as... The idea of someone being here is not simple. It's not clear-cut always. You know, it seems like they don't want to engage with you. It seems like... You know, or even maybe as you... If you begin to walk around, maybe you hear doors locking as you approach. You know, the sound of bolts being closed. Indoors and whatnot.
What do you guys think about following that stream of people?
Yeah, they seem to be heading towards the palace.
It's not like a constant stream. Like, you just, every now and then you might see just, you know, like a group of two people or something like that, kind of heading that way.
Well, we're closer than we've ever been. No sense in stopping now.
We gotta push on.
All right.
You think it's safe?
Absolutely not.
Hell no.
No.
Is there anything we can do to make it safer? Sorry, stupid question. My bad.
Well, we just don't know what we're gonna find in there. Benedict?
I know.
I don't,
I know people don't seem excited to see us, but maybe we should just, like, knock on a door and ask for some tea.
Well...
We've done that a lot, man. Though. We've done that a lot, so we should just move forward.
The only thing I can think of is we could attempt to
creepy thumbs up.
We could attempt to do it stealthily, in case we maybe observe some people. If we want to go forward, like roll stealth check, and like see if we can do it sneakily, and perhaps we could come up if we do come across some kind of, if there is some danger looming waiting for us, then maybe we could get the upper hand. But
well, Hank, there is that fruit cart. Why don't we just commandeer the fruit cart and we'll blend into this empty street.
Stick this watermelon on my head.
Pretend to be
head.
Fruit vendors.
Oh, I was going to pretend to be
fruit. Oh, I thought you were going to say pretend to be fruit. Yeah, exactly.
Pretend to be fruit.
But
I'll scout ahead.
We could take that with us. We could take that fruit cart.
I'm not hungry, though.
I know. There's no fruit, though. It's just a cart. Hank.
All right. You
give
take
me
the
some
cart.
Yes ands, man.
Yes, and I will lead the way stealthily. You fellas,
okay.
Don't fall.
I will
too far
take
behind.
This big wooden barrier that could be helpful to us.
Okay.
Along with...
Hank's gonna kind of, like, scout ahead, but, like, keep them... Obviously, keep them... And kind of, like, okay. You know...
Oh, fuck, the wheel fell off.
Wait.
Benedict, give me a hand.
As Busiak tears the wheel off.
Fumble.
So I got a fumble. I took a strength check there to try and pull the cart.
But I successfully
And I got a fumble there, Joe.
As you go up to pull the cart, both wheels fall off comically, like in unison to the side.
I tried.
And rolling out of the middle of the cart are what looks to be about 50 peaches.
Mm.
Well, that's surprising.
I cannot believe you're doubling down on this useless set piece. As much time as... Wait, now there's peaches?
Yeah.
Busiak eats a peach.
Oh, it's wax. It's a fake wax peach.
Oh, Busiak. Yeah, don't interact with the props, man.
It's like North Korea.
He's a fake. He's fake.
It's a
North Korean peach.
It's a North Korean peach.
Coincidentally, that's a girl I follow on OnlyFans.
Oh. Oh my.
Jesus. This Hank. Okay,
you
so
guys
we are
move
on
down
set.
The street.
We go down the street.
Does Hank get anything for his advanced stealth as he leads the party?
Did you? What did you get? Did you roll a dice?
Yeah, success.
He did.
You get a success. Okay. Yeah, you. You're heading down. You're kind of in front of them, and you hear the sound of the comical slapstick comedy routine going on behind you. You know, as these guys are managing their peach cart problem. But Hank, you are moving forward. You know, I assume you have a weapon, not necessarily like up, like you're scanning, but you know, you have your weapon, you know, and you're trying to move, gaining as much cover you can, observing maybe on like a little alley from a little alleyway and then moving, kind of hopping up as you go from one piece of cover to the next. You get to an area, Hank, where the street begins to turn, like a slow, easy turn, and you see that the buildings actually end. Or maybe they end on one side of the street, and you hear in the distance a familiar sound. The lapping of waves.
A shore.
And as you peer down, again, there's this low fog kind of hanging. It's not terribly thick, you know, but, you know, at like 100 meters or so, you know, and you can see it appears that the street kind of ends in a bit of a, what would you call that? You know, the street that abuts up against a beach,
okay. Right?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like ends like mm-hmm. one of those, like a walking path, like where people can walk by the beach and stuff like
and
that.
And this is going in the same direction as the palace?
Oh, were you heading directly toward the palace? Was that the intent?
Yeah, I thought so.
I would say that whichever way you start to go, like you see this in the distance. Like and again, it's like, you know, you guys had come down through the lake.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, now there appears to be another body of water.
Fellows,
you know, so really sure
if we take if we take the beach path, would that take us closer to the palace?
You think so?
Perhaps we can, fellas, there's a beach. Maybe we can get around all these buildings if we stay. And also, maybe it'll give us a sense of direction if we can keep the, you know, this body of water either on our left or right side, whichever way is going towards the palace.
Hank, the water makes you feel safe. After everything we've been through, the water makes you feel safe, Hank.
Well, I'm not going to go in the water.
Oh, I feel great. I feel great about that. At least we're not swimming again. God damn it, Hank, I'm tired. I'm tired of this shit. I'm too old for this shit.
I'm so tired.
Gotta be honest, I could use a little a beach walk after that Warscape hell zone back there.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Critical on alertness. What do I see once we get to the beach?
Hank, you know, if you're still kind of up ahead of these guys, you get to the end of the, you know, of the row houses, and you look, and you see that it's not the most pristine, pretty sight. You know, and again, like, you, the streets kind of betray this, like, okay, well, something's been going on, but someone's been trying to keep this place kind of looking nice. The beach, have you... The thing I can... It reminds me of the most is I remember when Hurricane Katrina... After Hurricane Katrina came in, you could go down to the coast, and instead of the beach being its normal size, it was like... It was almost like everything was at low tide, and the beach went on and on and on, like, out into the water. Mm-hmm. And you could see detritus, like, sticking up out of the sand, stuff like that. You go out, and it's like... You see... That there indeed appears to be a grand lake here. And there's a bit of a, like, you know, a beachfront kind of walk. And you can see where the beach itself normally would be. But it's almost like the water is receded back. And it reveals, in some cases, what might look like maybe entirely partially, or, you know, partially buried buildings. Vehicles, wreckage, you know, pieces of boat and stuff like that. But kind of... As you're peering out into the fog, kind of like at the edge where the fog is sitting, you see a huge old-school boardwalk that juts out into the mud and the mire of this kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, this sandbar that where everything is stuck in. And maybe even along the beach, maybe there are little bits where there are little chairs with little umbrellas, some of which are in better shape than others. But you can see it's like, you know, it's like life was trying to continue, or maybe was stopped mid-sentence as people were doing their thing here. But there's this big boardwalk, and sitting in the middle of the boardwalk is a massive, massive, unsightly square construction that from this distance you can barely tell what it is. But it just, it dwarfs. And at the end of the boardwalk, there is like a Ferris wheel. And, you know, and what looks like to be like a little carnival kind of thing. But this giant building, it's just this big square thing, just dwarfs even the Ferris wheel.
It's on the boardwalk towards the end.
And it's built on the boardwalk.
And yes. Underneath the boardwalk, something... it's just like mud. It's like not, the water's not up to.
Right. It's like the water's been like receded like way, way back. But you can see the water in the distance and you can hear the lapping of waves.
We might be able to find some supplies near this weird building. I don't know how y'all feel about going that down the boardwalk.
That's a fucking trap.
That's a trap.
Hell no, that's a fucking trap. Dizzy. 6 months in the night floors, that's a trap.
We still got dynamite. We could blow it up.
Oh.
All right, Hank, you take lead. I'll watch you. I'll watch you from the shore.
I got you back.
Yeah. I don't... Would we? We wouldn't go towards this, would we? We would just keep going towards the tower.
Hank, from the way every that experience we've had... Shut the fuck up, I'm talking.
I got you. No. Right.
from every experience we have... Both in-game and out-of-game. In-game, our characters wouldn't because we're going to the palace. Out-of-game, Delta Green does not reward you for exploring that extra. Like, we're not going to find a loot drop. We're going to find something that turns you irreparably insane or kills you.
A tractor, clockwork, death machine. Hank, I am very much... I don't think this is a good idea. Unless we're going to aggressively assault that large piece of concrete... The way we've been navigating before is to just think or to really, really want to be towards the palace. And right now, I really want to be towards the palace. So what if we just... I don't know. Let's walk down that other path and, like, go towards the palace. But everybody think really hard about the palace. That's how we get places, Hank. I don't know if I want to go to that building.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's walk past it.
What?
It sucks so bad because, like, I want to know what's in there, but everything that we've been conditioned to believe and do, like, there's no way we'd do that.
As you guys are having this confab, and I imagine you're not just standing there just like hands on hips on the beach, you know, like, I assume you guys have, like, some type of cover, you know, as you're having this confab, trying to figure out what you're going to do. I think, isn't Hank's alertness, like, really high?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just got a critical. 82.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, it's and his last alertness was 66. You know, Hank, you know, you're sitting here and you guys are just like, okay, it's like, man, we really don't know if we want to fuck with this. So there are two things. One, Hank, you were reminded of something. And Busiat doesn't have the opportunity to be reminded of this because he wasn't there. Hank, you were reminded of something. You were reminded of an odd photo. An odd photo.
I was going to ask about that. I thought
sorry.
That was Lake Harley.
Go ahead, John.
No, go for it. I'm just upset at myself for not speaking up. I'm lashing out at you. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay.
Feel your pain.
Yeah. So you see this and looking at like where the palace is, but then this boardwalk, you were reminded of a postcard that you saw, or not a postcard, it's much a picture of two people, one of which you did not know at the time, one of which you had, of Dr. Elias Barbus, also known as Marbus, and Ophelia Citri dressed as clowns,
mm-hmm.
with on some type of boardwalk, and behind them was like a carousel. Right, you know, and that kind of thing. With them, like, making this, like, funny kind of, you know, this kind of funny thing. And behind them, in the distance, silhouetted, was this grand palace. And, Hank, you're looking at this, and you're like, you know, it's like, you know, this reminds you of that. And you're like, it's the only boardwalk we've seen here. And you wonder what it takes for someone to come to this place. But then Dale... to come back out? Or did it even happen in that order? Like, you know, time is fluid.
That was forever
in these situations.
Ago. I'll remind Benedict of that. So that was definitely a good call. I do not want to go near that spot.
If you remember, they were dressed up, so maybe they were also going to the ball and... they actually had the right costumes. So maybe we just need to keep an eye out for some clown costumes.
Maybe they're insane and part of this weird play. Maybe that was their part, to be entertainers of some sort. Not sure.
The second thing you see, Hank, as you are doing this and your mind kind of wonders, you catch a tiny... You know how you're a lot better at catching little tiny bits of movement out of the corner of your eye? You know, like you react more to like little bits of movement. Maybe your eyes are scanning. Maybe you turn back to Bendik, but then you catch a tiny flutter of movement on the boardwalk as you see someone turn a corner and begin to head like around the side of this big square building. And all you can see is that they are wearing what appears to be like ankle length red robes draped over. Whoever they are, they have a hood up over their face and they are walking quickly, briskly.
Mm-hmm.
And they make it to like these kind of big double doors and you see them, you know, kind of, you know, struggle to get the doors open. They seem to not be terribly easy to open, you know, but then you see them also then pull the door behind them as they go in to this facility, this building.
I just don't, I obviously point that out to everybody. I just don't know, fellas. I mean, on the other hand, we went inside a random factory and it teleported us into this intersection of the city. This could be some kind of portal, but it does seem like a big risk.
Well, real quick. So you guys are kind of at this crossroads. What are the things, what are your objectives right now? Like, what do you need to do? What do you want to do?
Base?
Get to the palace, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
mm-hmm.
We do need an invitation, though. And we need something to dress up. So we don't have an invitation. I don't know what's going to happen if we're not invited to this thing.
Okay. Do you think we could find an invitation there?
We could ask.
Maybe they have a customer service desk.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Are we really thinking about doing this?
I think we have to. I think we don't. We have to go. Let's go ask that man in the red robes.
Let's ask this cult leader briskly. Where the cult
yes,
is.
He'll briskly start walking towards the cult.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
The
There's
dude
no
in the
reason
robes.
To assume that he's in leadership. Don't be ridiculous.
Oh, that's good.
He's going to turn back to the guys and he's going to do the kind of Robin Hood men in tights thing. He's going to say, "Walk this way!" And he's going to start going, walking. And then they're going to copy him.
All right.
Deep cut.
Busiak mimics it.
Let's go towards this ridiculous trap.
Excellent. As you guys draw close, again, like, you know, there's this kind of fog in the far, in the mid distance, you know, and you see that as you guys get closer, you see that perched on top of this big square building is, you know, at first something that's a bit of an odd shape, but as you guys grow close, you see that it too appears to be almost carousel in its kind of shape. And it is something, but it's not cheery and brightly painted like a carousel, and the creatures on it have a seriousness to them, but it's not just creatures, it's also what looks like almost like orbs, like planets, like a combination of like a carousel and orrery almost.
Sure.
Like kind of perched on top of the whole thing. And as you guys draw close, you see that, again, there's this big wooden building here, and there are many sets of doors kind of all over, but many of them are chained, you know, have big, heavy chains over them. But you know that the figure had gone in this other way. Is there anything you guys would like to explore about the boardwalk, or would you like to pursue the kick in the door and announce yourself loudly kind of route?
I think I'd like to take bets on what particular type of trap we're walking into. Like, is it going to be a roll of sanity check, or is it going to be a character killer? I got $20 on character killer.
We got 9 sticks of dynamite.
Can we look at those?
Would have had 10.
Gonna hold that over my head forever. It was a decent Absolutely. Throw, Busiak. I tried my best, okay? It slipped. My hands were clammy. Move on.
You think dynamite grows from trees?
You're the one that didn't want to explode those people.
Hank just rolled an occult and failed trying to figure out if there's some meaning behind these creatures / celestial bodies above the weird thing, but failed.
Yeah, nothing particular you can make of, but it has that feel. You know, for anyone who's seen like a planetarium or an orrery, it's an odd combination, I would say.
There's something.
Let's take a look
at the
very
least. We know there's 2 people inside here. Whether they're friendly or not, we should be on our guards.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys want to take a look around the boardwalk?
Yeah. Let's just take a stroll quickly.
Okay.
You guys make your way around the boardwalk, around the outside the building. There appears to be one unchained entrance. That doesn't mean you can't use the other ones, you know, but you'd have to deal with the chains. But as you go down the boardwalk, there are what are those things called? You know, like the binocular things that you put a coin into, you know, so you can look out. Yeah. You know, there's those kind of stationed around, and maybe even at the very far edges, like, you know, on the edge of the boardwalk, there are even some fishing rods that are like put into like kind of like makeshift mounts, you know, like they've been left there by someone who is fishing. Maybe they have little bells on them, you know, to, you know, that kind of thing, you know, someone who's been here, you know, trying to catch a meal. And as you go down to the carnival area, there are no barriers. But everything is shut up. everything, you know, has the, you know, the concession stands have their doors down with little padlocks on them. And there is this feeling of, I think, of as you guys walk amongst it, there's this feeling of out of placeness, like a strange and like penetrating wrongness about this here. Like it feels, and especially for you guys, you know, maybe with the exception of Benedict, you know, who is from the UK, right? But like, especially for, you know, Hank and Busiak, it's like, God, this feels like Americana, you know, like it feels like something pulled right out of, you know, like a postcard from where you're from, you know, and like this kind of feeling like it should not be here. And the emptiness of it is kind of settles on you. And you guys all find yourself almost like struggling with like an emotional, like drainedness as you kind of walk amongst. You feel like ghost haunting a place.
It could be like, this could be sort of the thing, like in the Silent City, like the city is basically all props, and it seems, and Joe said there's like a bunch of detritus and just shit everywhere on the beach. It's like maybe the closer you get to the body of the water, the more it's like a mishmash of other worlds, and like the city now that's squeaky clean is just like the set, and the closer we go towards, you know, the play, basically.
Sure, but what's the point?
I'm not sure, besides
killing one of us.
Maybe we are we're just out of place. I don't feel at home here. What is at home anymore? We've been doing this. How long has it been, Hank, that we've been doing this?
I got the creeps, that's all I know. I'm more for going back out of this boardwalk and leaving these rogue folks behind.
This boardwalk might be the best chance at finding a clown costume. If we want
even
to
more
up,
reason to leave. I don't want to see no clown. I hate clowns.
All right, then let's head back.
I say we do this. We open that door. Then again, this could be each door could be a portal to somewhere else. We opened the door.
Hank,
we went.
I don't
into...
know where you got this portal idea from. I don't think we've ever seen a portal.
Yes. Yeah, we've been in the same world this entire series. I don't know why I would think that we could go through a door and magically be somewhere else.
Right.
Benedict, you feel stupid.
Wow.
That's coming from me, the GM. I'm telling you, that's right. I'm telling you how your character feels. You feel stupid.
That's not just your average feeling of stupid. There's GM intervention.
You guys are having this conversation, maybe standing next to a big, you know, big sign that has a picture of on one side of a corn dog and on the other side of like cotton candy, but written in Tartesian. Like you can't read the signage. You know, you guys are standing here having this conversation. And you hear a small tingling of music. Just
coming from
dark room.
Coming from back the direction of the building. Like back towards more the base of the boardwalk. And it's far away, and it seems to be kind of, you know, like not like getting closer, like beelining towards you or anything. Nothing, I don't want to give you that impression.
Okay.
But it's, you hear this tingling of music.
What are the chances that I could roll a heavy machinery and try to get the merry-go-round working?
The point of those skills is to roll them and see what happens. So, if you want to do that.
Busiak, why... you know what? You do you, man. You go and fix that machine.
Yeah. Well, there's like a control panel. you know, there's like a big control panel, like kind of to the side, like a box that maybe has like a tarp over it or something. And it doesn't take anything for you to pull the tarp off and see that this machine has a set of controls.
Yeah. I mean, we have been pretty stressed as of late. It would be a good chance to let down our hair.
It would actually nice. Yeah. And it would give us a vantage point.
I could
point.
Really use a ride.
Listen, Busiek, I think we can all agree. What we can all agree as people, there's nothing more relaxing than a merry-go-round ride in a deserted alien carnival. Like,
I call the narwhal.
Okay, it's nothing but narwhals.
Oh,
holy shit!
Oh no!
100 fumble. Wow.
Oh no.
So we're just crits and fumbles okay. today.
Okay, so I'm in the right here to punish you, right? Like that's
I mean, yeah.
I mean, like that's fair. That's the right thing for me to do.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we all get squashed by a giant Ferris wheel.
it's actually like a it starts to transform. It's actually a big like Voltron.
Oh no.
And it just stamps on all of you. No. You Busiek, you go in and you try to mess with this thing. And to your surprise, you know, maybe you look underneath, you're like, okay, there's a what is, you know, is this where the power comes in, stuff like that? And to your surprise, Busiek, you seem to like, oh, there appears to be like a master power switch that is just like turned off in the base of this thing, maybe behind an access panel. You flip it and you hear the control panel kind of murr, you know, kind of like, you know, the sound of it kind of powering up and stuff like that. And
guys, I got it. Thumbs up. I'm feeling great.
And there's a big red button. There's a big red button that seems to be, you know, there's a green button and a red button. There's a big, and the green one is lit up. And, I mean, what are you going to do? What's Busiek going to do with his fumble? What do you think he would do?
Well, he falls face first and hits the red
one. He's colorblind.
Yeah, he's colored.
Oh, which one? Which one?
Both at the same time. Blah!
I like that meme.
Yeah, it's a both at the same time.
Yeah, that's the green one.
You hit the green one, and it begins to turn. The carousel first, like, it seems to grind and screech. You know, there's, like, that mechanical unhealthy just, you know, as the machine is struggling, ungreased for God knows how long. But then it begins to turn, and all of the narwhals start to bob up and down as they go. But the song you hear is something that maybe you haven't heard, Busiek, but these two know it. It's a song. It's like a doo-woppy kind of song called Whatever Happened to Abby.
Oh.
And it's belting out from the center of this thing, but it's even the sound itself is warped and unwell sounding. And as it does, as it begins to bob up and down and the music starts to spread out, you hear something moving within the nearest concession stand, which is closed. You hear something stirring. And then you hear something stirring at the balloon popping station. Oh, is that one of those water dunk things? Something is moving within the pool of it as well. Oh, like, and it's like, oh, isn't that a fun house over there? You can hear what appears to be scratching at the closed door.
Okay. Everybody, this was fun, but we need to run now. Let's get out.
I'm getting creeped out, Busiek.
I don't want to know. Busiek, step away from that. Let's go. Let's go. We're out.
You guys don't want to take a ride on the...
No, let's go. Let's go. You did your job. This is a bad idea. All right. And we start to book it out of here. Back to the big, boring concrete.
Well, as you get near to the big square building, maybe about that time behind you, the first concession stand. Again, like, you know, it has those big vertical opening doors that, you know, like... You know, to close off the part where you'd come up and stand there and get your your cotton candy. The first one of them, it's like as you guys are leaving, like there's beginning to be pounding on these locked doors of all these stands, and then one of them, the lock finally gives way, and you guys maybe turn around and see there is as what appears to be a mannequin wearing a little apron with like a little hat, like a little, you know, concession stand server hat, is pulling itself out, but it appears to be partially broken and unwell and not well maintained, and it pulls itself out and seems to be getting itself around with only one hand and one leg, like down on the ground, and it pulls itself over and begins to claw its way towards the carousel.
Jesus.
Oh, fuck no, not these fuckers again.
I think they're mesmerized by the carousel, though. They're not after us.
Yeah.
Hank, and do you want to leave?
We wait until they all crawl to the carousel, then we take all 9 sticks of dynamite,
that's awesome.
Throw them, blow the fuckers up.
As you guys approach the doors to the building, you can hear that tingling music, but it appears to be... And you see now the door is ajar, and the music seems to be coming from just inside the door.
Benedict. Abby's here somewhere. Like, I think Hank's now compelled. Like, he was scared, but now he knows he's scared, and he knows he has to go further down this kind of rabbit hole because the whole Abby thing, Abigail... Hank will look in the door.
You guys are, I imagine, Busiak and Benedict are kind of transfixed with, you know, this kind of zombie-like
zombies, yeah.
Like horde that's zombie like pulling mannequins. Itself towards the carousel. And maybe even you hear the sound of mechanical slamming. Like, you don't know if it's the sound of mannequins being thrown off of the of the carousel, or the sound of them attacking it. Like, you don't know. You know, because it's like behind the wall. But Hank, you ease open the door. It's a big, heavy door, and you look in into what appears to be a very old school mall. Like, there is a big open indoor walking area with boarded up shop fronts, and as you open the door. As you open the door, the music, you see the source of it. And on all sides of these shop fronts, there's kind of this path cut in the middle of these big piles. Not trash, not refuse, because it appears to be an order to it. You know, on one side, it looks like it's... Is that a pile of toasters taller than a man? Like, is this... But over here is an area, it looks like all copper stuff. Like, there's copper pipes, and then copper trinkets, and then, like, electronics. Like, they've been all pushed over in this. So there seems to be, like, this one appears to be all cogs and gears of different types. There's, like, a sorting of things, and they're piled up on both sides. But standing in the middle of it, walking slowly, but then stopping as you open the door, but walking away from you, deeper into the building, and holding a candle in its little hand.
Oh, no.
Is something that I think you have seen before.
No, not
Is
not
it the cabin
cherub,
thing?
Not a cherub.
The cabinet?
No.
The cherub?
No, it's not the cherub. One of you, or actually it might have been Benji now that I think about it, but I actually... No, it was Benedict. It was absolutely Benedict. Something that Benedict would remember, but Hank Benedict told you about. It is a small mechanical girl dressed in a little dress, you know, with like this hair that's made of some type of, you know, filament of some type. And there's this tinkling music coming from it. And it stops in the middle of its walk. And just its upper half of its body turns around to see you. And you see it has this little girl's face built, you know, kind of like molded onto it with an articulating jaw that moves up and down as if it's supposed to speak. And it turns around, Hank, and then its lower body turns around as well to you. and it takes a step toward you. This music tingling out of it. It sounds like a music box. Like, it's got that tingly, you know, kind of plinky sound to it.
Hank raises the gun towards it.
It takes another step toward you.
Oh, I need to roll something. What can we roll?
Benedict grabs a stick of dynamite and looks at Hank. Says, ready when you are.
And keep in mind, this is the thing that gave you the letter from Abby.
Oh.
That was the last encounter you had with it.
I wish sense motive were a thing and that you could use it on machines, but neither of those is real.
Notoriously hard to read.
And I roll.
What would you guys like to do?
Benedict, this might be our only chance to get another clue to where Abigail is. So Hank is torn, but he's not stupid. Can I roll alertness for his best of his ability to see if it's hiding any kind of weapon? Or something's different about this one?
Sure.
There's something different about this one than the one that gave us the letter.
Well, you didn't see that one. Benedict did. And then it disappeared.
Oh, I thought he used it.
Yeah. Busiak's like, what have you guys seen one of these before?
Yeah,
he's got his axe up, ready to go.
I've seen one of these. Sure. It delivered a letter. But this one's creeping me out.
What kind of letter?
It's too long to tell you about it right now, Busiak. Hank.
Poisonous letter, laced with anthrax.
No, nothing like that.
Demonic ruins.
No, just a letter. Just a standard letter. Hank.
Harmless?
God damn it, Busiak. Hank, make a call, man.
Alertness, success, 19 under 82.
Hank, you do not see any obvious weapons that this thing is, you know, has here. And as it walks out to you, you see, like, and it's like it takes another few steps, but then again, its upper half turns away from you as it's walking. And you see that as it's coming closer to you, what appears to be like some type of opening in its back opens up, that maybe even it's that the music gets louder as literally the back portion of its body like opens mechanically. Like, you see all these complicated clockworks, you know, as this thing pulls open. And then out from, and as it gets within about 3 feet of you, your weapon still up, down at it, this little platter, like, extends out. And on it is a little sheet of paper.
Oh, says, okay.
Well, I say a piece of paper. It's an envelope.
Outside the envelope, it says Ian Frederick de Craig, prisoner 125100. And he opens it up and shows the letter to everybody. Join us at the palace for masquerade to celebrate the new king. Come to dine, come to dance, come.
Looks like you got your invitation, Benedict.
Benedict's still ready to smash this thing, but he grunts whilst just keeping an eye on the little girl.
Ian Frederick de Craig, do we know this person? He was a prisoner somewhere.
Hank, can you dismiss this creepy little doll standing in front of us? Please just, like, shuffle it along or something.
Go away, little girl. As soon as you remove this thing, as soon as you remove this, the entity, just very quickly, like, shing! Like, everything slams back into place in a way that, like, oh, if my hand were in there, that would have been a bad time. It, like, slams back into place, and then very quickly, losing all of that mechanical rigidity, this thing begins to skip as a child.
No.
Still holding this candle, and the candle stays completely, it's like the candle stays completely still. It's like you have steady cam on the camera. That's the only part of this thing that seemed unnatural. This thing skips off into the distance, this music still playing. And then far down the hallway, you again see a red cloaked figure making a turn past one of these big piles. And I think, my friends, it's probably a good place to stop for right now.
Very creepy.
Can I just say, I loved that description of that robot. Everything from like the articulated torso turning and legs following and like the movements, and that was awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. All I had to do was dig deep into my own nightmares and and pull that out. So
I'm sorry.
Well, it shows.
Well, everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. Thanks, Atomic Scissors, for the subs. We really appreciate
it.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
That really helps out. And in Wills, glad you can join us again live. Everyone listening, everyone watching, man, whether you're listening later or not, thanks for being here. We love doing this, and we're going to keep doing it, right? If you want to get the episodes a week early and get access to the Sandy Check stuff, hit up the Patreon. It's linked. You know the spiel. But guys, great job.
Great job.
I cannot believe you did not stay with the
creepy
with the creepy carousel that you got out of a fumble. Why would you not stay with it?
Are you going to tell us what that was on a sanity check?
Sure.
It's going to transform into Megatron, and Linkin Park was going to start playing.
Oddly specific.
And just lens flares.
Truly
the
worst of fates. Right.
Oh, man. But yeah, guys, thank you so much. Always a blast. If you are with us live, stay tuned. We are going to we're going to take a break, and then we will be back. If you're listening to us later, thank you for joining us, and we will catch you next time. And remember, everyone, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.